His mercy is good. He's been good to me. Let me say that again. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, as Donnie mentioned, Gary passed away. He had a heart attack. And there was even three doctors standing around him to try to revive him, and it just didn't happen. So he's with Jesus, right? And we know that. We're glorifying in that, but my heart is a little heavy for him because I just, you know, I miss him. I will miss him. I don't want to go into a lot about that because I have to get through the sermon. But anyway, no, God is good. He's faithful. He's faithful. I want to speak to you this morning about a subject, and I feel like it's going to be about three or four sessions in finishing the subject. But I want to talk to you. If you could turn your Bibles to, we'll start in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Yes. Did somebody say something? Anyway, I heard something. Anyway, is that you, Lord? Mark chapter 10. But I want to talk to you about stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. Now, usually when a pastor says stewardship, everybody grabs their wallet. You know, because he's going to ask for something. They're trying to build something. They're trying to go for something. But that has nothing to do with anything that I'm going to speak about in the next few weeks. Is money involved? Sure, it's involved. Because it's a part of our lives. But if I present this right, you'll get a heart for what I'm trying to say. Yes, sir.
You were saying it earlier, stay a little longer. Your Lord wants you to stay a little longer. We're just entering in, barely getting there. Stay a little longer. Steward the time. Stay longer.
Amen.
He sung the song. He's screaming out, stay longer. These things of the world will wear off of us like they are nothing. We just stay a little longer with him. Just hold on for a second. A new song will come. A new direction will come. The freedom, steward his love. Stay a little longer. He's crying out today to every one of us. Stay a little longer. We're like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And then we pop out to write something done. Down. He wants to give you something deeper.
Amen.
He wants to take you to a place you've never been before. This is a new beginning for all of us, not just here, but in all the world.
Amen.
And those who want to grasp a little longer will shine a little brighter.
Amen.
Follow him.
Amen.
Sit down with him, and he will take you.
Amen.
And the flow will happen. Things will start to diminish that are the darkness. Because you will become the light of his love that he bought on the cross. He's full. Let's follow him just a little longer. You know, our breakthrough is just right there.
Amen.
We're about to give up, but our breakthrough is right here. But we're giving up right here. Step over the line. He endured us. We can do this.
Amen.
Not by my will, but by his will. And when our will is lined up with his will, as the word says, all things are possible.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. If you found Mark chapter 10, I want to read a story, and you probably wouldn't think about this as stewardship, but just think for a moment. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Now as he was going on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, loving and loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying to themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now I want to say this, that this story is not about the man's money. It's not about his money. This story is about the man's heart. And Jesus loved this man. Jesus loved this man. And what he was saying is, I want you to steward your life for me. We'll get into this a little longer, but just to get you, God never wants something from you as his motivation. He always wants to get something to you. But not just to you, because that would be wonderful, but he wants to get something through you. Right? And if you take possession of what he gives you, you cannot be a steward of the gift that he's placed in your hands. Right? And so this story is about stewardship, but it's about the heart and how the heart is tied to stewardship. I want to quote a verse, and a verse that we all long to hear. At least I long to hear it, and it kind of motivates me. Fear and trembling are part of it, but I want to hear when I pass from this earth, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But let me say it a different way. Well done, thou good and faithful steward. 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 What have we done with what God has told us to do? Now watch this. The only thing that absolutely is keeping you or me from being the steward that God wants us to be is fear. But Lord, if I give that away, I won't have, right? But Lord, how can I do that? Or And the reality is if you know that God loves you, then if he asks you to give something away, his responsibility to make sure that your need gets met. And he's a good, good father. I said he's a good, good father. He loves you. He desires for you to have so much. But again, he can't get something to you until your heart is ready to receive it. So stewardship is really not about, I mean, money's involved, absolutely, because Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And I think you can back that up. Where your heart is, you'll see what you treasure. But anyway, watch this. God wants us to be released from us. Right? In this story, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. What is the cross? What is the cross? What is that? Are we supposed to get on one of those wooden things that Rome used to make people suffer? No. Jesus' cross was not the wooden beam that he hung on. His cross was giving his heart to the Father's will. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. So when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, he's saying, giving your heart completely to the Father. No less than that. We're going to get to a couple of different things, but watch this. Back in the year 1977, I prayed a prayer that I gave Jesus my life. But in that prayer, I declared that Jesus is Lord. And I trust that most of us, if not all of us in the room, have prayed that at some time or another. But when you prayed that, you said, by saying that, that your life is no longer yours. It's no longer mine. It's no longer mine, but I'm living for Him. So I want to become a steward of all He has. Go to Matthew 25. Glory to God. While you're turning there, I want to read this definition out of the dictionary of what stewardship is. Stewardship is utilizing and managing all the resource God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. Obviously, this was a Christian dictionary, but utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and for the betterment of His creations. Come on. So it's like, Lord, how am I doing? How am I doing? With what? And this is not an exclusive list or all-encompassing list, but just a few of the things that we'll talk about over the next couple of weeks is that God gives us relationships. How are we stewarding them? God gives us time. How are we stewarding it? God gives us talents. How are we stewarding it? God gives us money. How are we stewarding it? A question that needs to be answered, but the correct answer can only come when you come to the realization that all of those things that He's given to me don't belong to me. They belong to Him. I've told you this story before, but I've got the mic so I can tell it again. My son was born, and it's one of those moments that I'm looking at his face right now when he was a little baby. I golfed with him yesterday. He doesn't look like this anymore. But anyway, I was looking at him and looking down, and his head was right here. You know how they smell everything. His little feet dangling down there. And I looked at him, and this is the thought or what I was thinking in myself and talking to God about inwardly. I said, God, You love me this much? Really, do you? Could you? Because I know me, right? I know my past. I know my problems. I know You really love me this much. And here's what He said to me. He spoke it to my heart. I'm not saying I heard it out of audible voice, but He said this. He said, I've given Michael to you as a gift, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. You know, that's helped me sometimes when he's not being who I think he should be. God, that's your problem, right? But the reality is if Jesus is Lord of my life, then everything that I have or would call myself, that my possession doesn't belong to me. But my job with everything in my life is to utilize and manage it for God's glory and for God's purpose. Come on. I believe with all of my heart that God loves me. I believe with all of my heart that God has a plan for me. But when I don't trust Him, I can't be a good steward of what I have in my hands. Right? But when I can release that to God and I can know that I know that I know that He loves me, and I can know that I know that He has a plan for me, and I can know that I know that I know that He wants to use me. Glory to God. I can know that I know that He'll take care of me. Okay, look at Matthew 25. Y'all doing all right this morning? I'm telling you, this is freeing. If you get a hold of this, it'll change everything. It'll change your outlook. It'll change everything. It'll make you freer to put yourself down and just let God use you and let other people be blessed through you, because God wants to use you for His glory to be seen in you. Let me say that again. God wants to use you for His glory to be seen in you. In other words, God, He wants to use us as an advertisement for the kingdom of God. And not an advertisement to keep people out of it. Right? But an advertisement for them to want to come into it. And that only can happen as we have His heart. Matthew 25, look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered goods to them. Now before we go on, the kingdom of heaven, that's the kingdom that we live in. I said, the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Here's the deal with a kingdom. There's a king. Kings don't necessarily have to act according to your opinion. Kings rule. What does that mean? That he's head honcho in charge. And my job as a servant of the king is to just do what he wants me to do. I'm at your disposal. I'm at your bidding. If we're going to be part of the kingdom of God, if we're going to be part of the kingdom of heaven, then he has to be our king. Right? He has to be our king. What does that mean? I yield everything to his lordship. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, verse 14 again. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained more also. But he who had received 1 went away, dug it in the ground, and buried his Lord's money. After a long time, everybody say long time. A little more enthusiastic. Long time. The Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The one he'd received 5 talents came and bought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, and look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, you've done good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And also he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. And then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you thought you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own money with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Now, there are several points in here. God is a good God. God loves all of us passionately. God always has your best interest at heart. That rich young ruler, Jesus had his best interest at heart. We think, well, see, Jesus is saying there you can't be rich and be good at the same time, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Did you know that Jesus, in his ministry, had ladies who were well off that took care of him financially? Right, go look at, I think it's Luke chapter 8, but look it up. There are people who supplied into his ministry that had to have funds. Because God used the stewardship of those ladies to be a blessing to the kingdom. But watch this, when you're in line with stewardship, you will not stay the same with the talent that God gave you.
Amen.
It'll grow. It has to grow. It has to grow. Some of us, for years and years and years, we think, well, you know, this one's being blessed, and that one's being blessed, and this one's being blessed, and that one's... I don't understand it. I never seem to get anywhere. Maybe it's a stewardship problem. Maybe it's a stewardship problem. Now, first of all, we can see in this that God didn't say to the one who had 5 talents... "You're better than the one that has 2. Nor did he say, "You're better than the one that has 1. But he gave to them according to their ability to do something with what they have. This isn't written in here, but I'm just imagining the one with 5 talents started out with 1. And then grew to 5. And then when he dealt with that, it went up to 10, right? So we need to come back to the place where, Lord, how am I doing with the stewardship of what doesn't belong to me but belongs to you? Because I want it to grow. But let's go back. I want to look at the list again and just kind of look at this from a practical standpoint. How about relationships? What am I doing with the relationships that I have? How come I don't have more friends? Or how come I don't have more people that I'm in a relationship? Well, what kind of seed have you been sowing to that? There's a verse in the Bible that says that if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly.
Yes.
You can't have an attitude, "Why is everybody always picking on me?" Here's something that I believe is prevalent in the church, and God wants to release healing in. A lot of people have been victimized in the church. From very young, even in church, they've been victimized, right? But the act of victimization does not dictate who you are. Unless you wear the label a victim. And sometimes we're not stewarding that he's made us more than conquerors because we're not allowing his love to penetrate our heart at that level. And we continue to sow seeds of victimization because we haven't taken on what the Father's given to us, and then we haven't done anything with it. Or listen to me. But if we come a steward of who God has made us, because right, what did God say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not going to go far down this road, but who knows what will happen. But we'll watch this. When I got saved, and I was got saved at a time where, you know, there's cycles through the body of Christ. But when I got saved, the gifts of the Spirit was during the charismatic renewal, and the gifts of the Spirit were the rage. And everybody walked around, what gift do you have? And what gift do you have? And there were some people that, I have all gifts of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit operating in me, blah, 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 you know, and just like, it was just pride. It's really silly. But I said, and I meant it with all my heart, Lord, I don't necessarily care if I have any of the nine gifts of the Spirit. I mean, if you want to use me that way, and by the way, He has, but that's not what I really want. I want to learn to love like you love. And watch this. God has stewarded His love to His people. The Bible says in Romans that the Holy Spirit has shed His love abroad in my heart. What does that mean? It's in here. The love of God is in here. But am I burying it? Or am I using it? If I want to be a steward of God's love, then I have to look for opportunities, right, to invest that love into somebody else. Oh, you don't understand. Nobody likes me. Well, I wasn't going to go there yet, but Galatians 2:20 is our message, is our scripture for how to live out stewardship. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, if we're believers, and we all are, if you're not, you will be in a few minutes. Right? If you're not, you will be. But the moment that you became born again, the love of God is on the inside of you. And are you looking at it through the lens of stewardship? And how do I invest this into other people? There's so many ramifications to that. But here's the cool thing. If I sow love into you, then love will come back to me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In fact, go there. And again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is so cool. The Lord showed me this many years ago. And it's so awesome. If you'll look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And this verse is used in many offerings. People take up an offering and I want to be really careful. But it's a Christian, sometimes it's used, and I don't want to lay a blanket statement, but sometimes I felt like it's been used as a trick, a Christian gimmick to get resources. You know, Christian doesn't have to use a gimmick to get resources. Because either God is the source or He's not. Now, I believe in putting opportunities and things out there, but I'll never, ever, 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 ever pressure somebody to give me money. Why? Because the moment that I do that, you become my source. And you're not as good as God. You don't have the bank account that He does. Right? Right? So look at this in 6:38. It says, given it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Did you know in the context of this, it has nothing to do with money? It has to do with how you treat people. Love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. So on and so forth. And it's like God is saying, look at how are you stewarding the love that I've given to you? God so loved the world that He gave. But He didn't give to you for you to hoard. Because the love that He gave to you is not yours, it's His. It's to you, but it's supposed to be through you. But if you're still living for you and not dead to you, then it'll hit a dead end. And at some point, God will say this. He said, you know, I really wanted to use Bruce to love that person, but he's refusing to. So I need to take that opportunity that I had for Bruce, and I need to give it to somebody else because I want my love to go through anyway. You aren't stealing my blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm determined to be used by God. I'm determined. And watch this. We have a whole body of people that God wants to use. Right? But I need you to steward what God has given to you so that I can be complete. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. When, because of either my pride or other people's rebellion in not doing what God's called them to do, the body gets out of sorts. I've had times in my life where one leg was just not hardly used at all, right? And so I walked around like this. I was still functioning, still there, still wherever, you know, I was at the present time. But I wasn't whole. I wasn't complete. My body was not stewarding the messages that my brain was sending to it because of a malfunction. God wants us to be functioning as one and stewarding the giftings that He's given to us so that we can win this world for Jesus. Glory to God. We're living at such a perilous time. Anybody afraid of that? We shouldn't be. Might it get uncomfortable? Sure. Sure it might. I'm not believing for that. But I know that if God's with me, then who cares? He'll see me through. Verse 8. 1 Peter 4, 8. Above all these things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Are you a steward of the love that God has given to you? Or are you hiding it in your heart and letting the hardness of your heart keep it from flowing? Now watch this. Be hospitable to anyone without grumbling. You know what that looks like? Your mop in the bathroom. And the enemy puts it there. Nobody else is doing this. Why are you doing this? You did it because you love the body and you wanted to serve Jesus and you wanted to. But how come this isn't happening? Look at all these people. Right. And what you've just done is you've covered over the outpouring of God's love in stewardship when we should be rejoicing. This is really hitting home, isn't it, Judy? But watch this. but we need to be at the place where we're saying, God, I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for you. Right? And you've given me an opportunity to serve. Whether it's preaching a sermon, singing a song, cleaning a toilet, it doesn't matter, Lord. I want to be a steward of what you've called me to be. Hopefully there'll be a fight over the mops today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Watch. Each one of us, look at this, verse 10. Each one. Everybody say each one. Let me ask you a silly question. Are you in each one? You know, there's whosoever's, each one's in the body. And I just apply to all of them. I'm just for all of them. Each one, that's me, has received a gift. Minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. You know what that word means? I've got a ministry. I've got tassels on my shoulders, which means I'm the apostle. You must bow yourself to me and look at me as holy. Anything, I don't want to go too far because offices need to be respected. Men who are used of God need to be honored. There's some things that go there, but that needs to come from them and not from you portraying it like you need it. Does that make sense? But this word, each one has received a gift. First of all, I have no a right to give glory for any talent or ability that I have because it's come from God. If I can preach, it's because God gave me the ability. If I can sing, if I can do cabinet work, if I can, whatever it is, God's given me that gift, so I have to give Him all the glory for it, right? But the second part of it is I'm supposed to serve, that's what that word minister here is, serve. It's like the person that you go, if you go out to eat this afternoon and somebody comes to the table and says, how may I serve you? What can I get for you? What can I do for you? In our relationships and with everything that God has put us stewards over, we have to come from the place, I'm a servant. God has gifted me this to serve somebody else with. Come on. Woo! Just imagine if we really believed that God gave us some talents to minister to somebody else. We'd come to church or we'd go to our office or we'd go anywhere. We'd say, God, today I'm just your servant. And so I'm coming to minister to somebody else. And how they receive it or act because of it has no bearing on anything because I'm doing it as unto you. Yeah. Woo. Do you think that might cause a revolution? If it doesn't for anybody else, I promise you it will in you. Yeah. Glory to God. Woo. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you ever read something and just go, huh? Huh? Really? Really, God? Do you know what that's saying? If anyone speaks in his ministry in that God is talented with, let him speak as if God were speaking. Mind blown. What does that mean? That because of my relationship with God and what He's invested in me and the gifting that He's given to me and my stewardship of that gifting, I have the possibility of God giving me words to say to you that can penetrate your heart for eternity. Right? Lord, let me become a steward. I want to be a steward of this. I want to grow in the stewardship thing, Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Look, if I'm a father at home, Lord, help me to be a steward of the gifts that you gave me to raise. If I'm a husband, my wife, if a wife, the husband, you know, whatever it is, Lord, I just want to become a steward. But you cannot become a steward if you haven't crucified your heart. And crucifying your heart really is trusting that God has your heart. Right? Right, the Bible says give and, you know, we read that give and shall be given unto you. Look, it's not my responsibility to figure out how he's going to give it to me. It's only my responsibility to be a steward of what he's telling me to do. I'm running over, but it's okay. If the kids start running in here or the teachers and yelling, then tell them you encourage me. But watch this. Watch. Went to Africa a few years ago, to Uganda specifically. And while we're flying over there, I'm praying about it. And this is what the Lord put on my heart to say. And I said it to somebody who's got a large ministry over there and somebody that's just got a small ministry. But I said this. I said, don't ever get the source and the resource mixed up. God will use people to get you what you need. But the source has to always be Him. And when we really get a revelation that He's my source, we can go back to Luke chapter 6 and go, oh, look at the birds. They're not toiling. They're not spinning. They're not worried about, you know, the hurricane that's there. Nothing is bothering them. Because they know. They have a creator who created them, loved them. He's worked it all out for them. Come on. Come on. So what do we have to worry about? Nothing. What should we be focused on? Him. Glory to God. Let's get through this. Verse 11 again. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things he may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. Everything I do, Lord, let it be glorifying to you. Lord, help me to become a steward. Help me to look at this stewardship a completely different way. This life that you've given to me is for a purpose. How many know we're just here for a short time? Yes. Through my eyes, looking at you, I still think I'm 20. Come on. Yes. But my body, when I wake up in the morning, has a little different story. Yes. Right? But the reality is that life is just a vapor. And I'm just passing through. But God, let me use this life to glorify you. In everything I say, everything I do. And here's the goodness, the good news. I might have failed yesterday, but He gives do-overs. Right? Come on, have you ever played a game and you failed miserably? Say, I want a do-over. Right. God gives do-overs. And this morning, wherever you are, if you're listening or if you're here or whenever you watch it, God loves you. He wants you to know that He's for you. He just wants you to understand that you putting everything that you have into His hands is the safest place to have your stuff deposited. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for your anointing. I thank you right now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit speaking to each person here. Each person that's listening or will listen. Lord, I've held on to too many things and claimed ownership of things that have never belonged to me. And I ask you to forgive me for that. Everything that I have, Lord, anything that I own, anything that you have given to me is at your disposal. My time, my relationships, Lord, my ministry, my money, my talents, they belong to you. Use me, Lord, for your glory. I trust you. I honor you. Just bow your heads for just a minute. Close your eyes. And just imagine you're in heaven before God right now. The only way that you can truly be there and be right and belong there is if Jesus is Lord of your life. If you've repented of your sin and said, Lord, I need a Savior because I can't be good enough. If that's you today, just give your heart to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, just call upon Jesus. He said, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be, will be, are saved. Come to Jesus today. But if you're here today and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you on any area where the word is been brought forth this morning, just say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this? Father, what do you want me to do with this? Help me. Guide me. Show me. Empower me. Become who you want me to be. I just sense this Holy Spirit hovering here. I'm going to have the worship team come up in a minute, but even as they come, even as we sing to Him, Lord, it's your talent that we use to worship you with. It's your breath that we utter words with. Thank you. Forgive us for being less than ideal servants, God, or stewards, but change us this morning. Father, I just pray for everybody that's watching online that you would bless them, that you would touch them. Lord, that you would heal their broken hearts, that you'd raise them up. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your life be glorified today. In us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.